All righty. So today is November 1st, first day of Eastern Standard Time. So I hope everybody's now well rested, having gotten an hour, extra hour of sleep. I don't see my cousins either.
Huh. Well, there's my friend Diane. Don, for those of you who don't know, Don has another whole batch of followers. Some neighborhood friends of mine have a study group, and we had already started reading the Quran when Don started to decide to do it. So I put all my friends on this group of five women on onto it, and some of them can get up early, like Diane did this morning, but some of them listen to it later because we've got the link to
right.
the report.
That's right. Yeah. Huh. Well, that's neat. Well, my cousins usually are on too, but maybe they couldn't quite make it this morning for some reason. And then Randy up in Connecticut was on the last few weeks, but I don't see her today. Anyway, we are talking about...
Have your recorder going?
What was that again?
You have your recorder going?
Yeah, I got the recorder going. We are talking about Hud. No, because I want you... Wait a minute, let me check on that. Yes, it is. Hey, yeah. And some people connect him with Eber. I guess because Eber, potentially Eber, is also referred to as Heber, so it does have an H in it, and that might link it, I don't know. But anyway... He is connected with the city of Ad, or the tribe of Ad, and that's what we're in the middle of right now. But in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 11, Eber is connected with Shelah, and it's thought that, I've got to make sure I get all this right now, Salih... is connected with that figure.
That makes
sense, I guess. And he's connected with Thamud, which we'll get to. When we finish with Hud. And you frequently find those two linked in the Quran. A lot of the time, the stories are juxtaposed to one another, or sometimes even in the same verse, that you'll have remember Ad and remember Thamud in the very same verse. So, but anyway, we're right in the middle of Hud, connected with Ad, and I listened the other day. And now I can't remember where I was. I think I got through chapter 11. I think. But maybe I'm on to 14 now. And this is, this is the wrong set of tabs. 14, 10 through 16. So I don't know if I read this or not. I'm not sure. But this is kind of verifies what I just said. Have not the tidings come to you of those before you, the people of Noah, and the tribes of Ad, and Thamud, and those after them? So you see what I mean about them being juxtaposed a lot. Allegedly, Ad is before Thamud, so we're talking about him chronologically. Of course, in the Bible... These two guys are exactly the reverse. This is the father of this. But anyway. And those after them. None knows them now, save Allah. Right? I mean, they're gone. Their messengers came to them with clear signs. Once again, everything is crystal clear. But they turned their hands to their mouths and said, "We disbelieve in that with which you have been sent, and surely we are in the disquieting doubt concerning that to which you call us." Their messenger said, "Are you in doubt concerning Allah, maker of the heavens and the earth? He calls you that he may forgive you your sins and grant you respite till the appointed term. They said, you are but men like ourselves. You desire to turn us away from that which our fathers used to worship. Bring us clear proof. Same old, right? The messengers then said to them, we are indeed only men like yourselves. But Allah bestows his favor on whomsoever he wills from among his servants. And it is not for us to bring you a clear proof except by the command of Allah. And in Allah alone should the believers put their trust. And why should we not put our trust in Allah when he has shown us our ways? And we will surely bear with patience all the harm you do us. So in Allah let those who trust put their trust. And those who disbelieved said to their messengers, we will surely expel you from our land unless you return to our religion. Then their Lord sent unto them the revelation, we will surely destroy the wrongdoers. And we will surely make you dwell in the land after them. This is for him who fears to stand before my tribunal and fears my warning. And they prayed for victory, and as a result thereof, every haughty enemy of truth came to naught. Before him is hell, and he shall be made to drink boiling water. I think maybe I did read that last time, because I remember the boiling water business. Of course, that's part of the fiery nature of hell. I mean, this is, the punishments in hell are not for the squeamish. So anyway, that's 14, and then we move to 26, 124 to 141. Let's see, I'm in the blue here. 26, yeah. 124, where am I? 124 to 141. Okay. The tribe of Ad rejected the messengers when their brother Hud said to them, will you not be righteous? Surely I am unto you a messenger, faithful to my trust, so fear Allah and obey me, and I ask of you no reward for it. Now, this is a very common theme, right? Their reward is always from Allah. My reward is only with the Lord of the worlds. Do you build monuments on every high place, seeking vain glory? And do you erect palaces as though you will live forever? And when you lay hands upon anyone, you lay hands as tyrants. So fear Allah and obey me, and fear him who has helped you with all that you know. He has helped you with cattle and sons and gardens and springs. Indeed, I fear for you the punishment of an awful day. They said, it is the same to us whether thou admonish us or whether thou be not of those who admonish. This is nothing but a habit of the ancients, and we shall not be punished. So they rejected him. And we destroyed them. In that indeed there was a sign, but most of these would not believe. And verily, thy Lord, he is the mighty, the merciful.
So very merciful.
Same story, right? Let's see. The next one is here. 41:14-17. But if they turn away, then say, I warn you of a destructive punishment, like the punishment which overtook Ad and Thamud. When their messengers came to them from before them and beheld them behind them, saying, worship none but Allah, they said, if our Lord had so willed, he would have certainly sent down angels. So we disbelieve in that with which you have been sent. As for Ad, they behaved arrogantly in the earth without any justification and said, who is mightier than we in power? Do they not see that Allah, who created them, is mightier than they in power? Still, they continued to deny our signs. So, we sent upon them a furious wind for several ominous days, that we might make them taste the punishment of humiliation in this life. And the punishment of the hereafter will surely be more humiliating, and they will not be helped.
Hey, Don,
yeah.
It seems once again that these are all about threatening punishment without any articulation on what you're not supposed to do.
Well, no, I mean, in this case, I think it's simply a question of belief. You know, will you accept a single God who is Allah. You know, will you accept Allah is the one God? And they're all the time saying, well, this is not what our traditional religion is, and we're going to, you know, obey the religion that's come down to us from our ancestors. So we will not believe that there is only one God. I really do think it's a monotheistic. The only thing, in other words, the only controversy here is a question of monotheism versus polytheism. That's the way it strikes me, at least. Now, there will be stuff about you got to be righteous and you got to repent, which always implies some rules there. And remember, Pat asked me about that last week, and I promised him if we didn't cover, which I don't think we will, the various passages in which there are lists of rules and stuff like that, I will do that when we're done with the whole sequence of prophets. So, I mean, other parts of the Quran. In fact, if you look at my spreadsheet, that one, the rightmost tab, which I don't remember what I called it, but that's the one where I tried to classify in a very general way every single section in the Quran, of which there are like 510 or something, I forget the number. But anyway, I tried to classify them. And some of them, I remember, I did say something about laws, I think. And because there are some chapters that are nothing but boom, 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 just like the Book of Leviticus, you know, just one thing after another. Now, I'm not sure, but here I think things are at such a general level. We're not talking about, you know, details like, you know, don't eat this kind of food and don't wear this kind of clothes or whatever. We're not getting to the weeds at this point. I think we're in the very general category. But, you know, but you do raise an interesting question, because when we get to the end of all this, I think it'll still be an open question. Exactly what is it we're supposed to do? Because, indeed, some passages seem to suggest, as I've said many times, some passages seem to suggest something along the lines of justification by faith alone. I mean, especially the ones where, like the ones I've been reading recently, you know, where the prophet comes and says, there's only one God, you've got to accept that, and then they say, no, we're not going to do it, blah, blah, then they get wiped out. But then there are others that do have this kind of moral part to them. So, you know, that's a hard question. It's a hard question in the Bible, too, right? There's been a lot of controversy over the centuries about that whole question. So, I don't know. I don't know if I answer your question, but I think as far as the one I just read is concerned, I think it's just a question of belief. It's just, that's kind of the precondition for everything. I mean, if you don't believe there's only one God, Allah, then you're not going to be interested in what Allah has to say about how you should live your life. Go ahead.
I had a question about that passage. The those who weren't believing were saying that if, you know, angels would be sent down to tell them.
Right.
Are angels typical in polytheistic religions?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? I mean, certainly it's typical in the Islamic religion and in Christian and Judaism, but I wonder, that's a very good question. Well, at least if we think about, I don't know about, you know, the ancient Arab polytheistic religion. I just don't know anything. But I do know something about the Greek and the Roman, especially the Greek religion. And that may be what you're thinking about. And no, I mean, you didn't need angels, right? Because you had a bunch of gods, and you had heroes, and you had daimons. Now, daimonists come closest, I suppose, to angels, because they are portrayed as spiritual beings, but they're not gods. So they're something less than gods and more than humans. So that's closest you get. Still not angels, but I can maybe see a parallel there. I wonder, since you raised that question, I wonder if that's an ex post facto looking back on it, because, of course, from the point of view of Islam, there are angels. So maybe you're portraying what they supposedly said to this prophet, to Hud, as, you know, in terms of later Islamic theology, Perhaps. Although this, you know, this is presumably put together only 20 years after Muhammad died, and presumably this is all stuff revealed to Muhammad, too. But, yeah, that is an interesting question.
Well, Don, we had talked a couple weeks ago about that Muhammad must have had pre-Islam some support for angels, or he would have blown off Gabriel as...
I see what you're saying. Oh, that's a good point, too. Yeah, that's a good point, too. Although you could maybe make the same answer. I mean, it's one thing to say, it's one thing to say that a spiritual being, you know, why don't you conjure up some sort of genie or some sort of spiritual being, and that a spiritual being spoke to me, blah blah blah, and it's another thing to construe it theologically as an angel or as Angel Gabriel or something like that, and it may indeed. I forgot to. You can hear me okay, but I forgot to put this thing on.
Weren't just coming from the sky.
Yeah, I'm just raising the possibility that that the way it's construed might be affected by later theology. You know, but I don't know. Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
I did look it up, and here.
Okay, good.
Ancient angels, and here's what it said.
Okay.
Yes. Archaeologists have unearthed altars dedicated to winged guardian angels in Iraq in what was once Sumeria, dating from 3000 BC.
Okay.
Old stories go back even further. The idea of the existence of unearthly shining beings predates the concept of a monotheistic God.
Okay, well then maybe that's your answer. Then they would be around. Now that's not Arabia, but you know, still, it's certainly not true in Greece. But you're right. I do, now that you mention it, I do remember seeing some pictures of winged beings. Of course, I guess that would be would that automatically be an angel? Maybe, coming out of this Sumerian world and that sort of thing. Maybe so. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe the idea was floating around then. Now, as far as Gabriel goes, who is definitely in the, you might say the Judeo-Christian tradition, I don't know. I mean, that may be an ex post facto identification. Yeah, that's a good question. The next one is in chapter 46. Let's see now. That's 46, 22 to 27. But you know, I know what I was going to say. But the insistence that Hud provide an angel, of course, we've seen that before, right? I think was it with Noah? I forget which one it was, but I mean that's not the first time somebody has said that, and that's part of a general insistence that you provide some kind of proof, right? That whole argument by the opponents of the messenger that you're just a person just like us, you know, there's nothing special about you. So we're not going to believe you unless you provide some kind of proof. And sometimes that proof is in the form of an angel, but sometimes the proof is in form of something else, especially as we'll see when we get to our next prophet, Sali. But I mean, it's in that general context of requiring something that is going to tip the scales to make it plausible that you're a messenger of some kind. I mean, how do I know you're not just some crazy guy running around telling you the world is at an end, you know? Well, anyway, this is the one from 46. And make mention of the brother of Ad when he warned his people among the sand hills. By brother, it simply means citizen right here. And warners there have been before him and after him, saying, worship none but Allah. I fear for you the punishment of a great day. They said, hast thou come to us to turn us away from our gods? Bring us then that with which thou dost threaten us, if indeed thou art of the truthful. He said, the knowledge thereof is only with Allah. and I convey to you what I have been sent with, but I see you to be a very ignorant people. Then, when they saw it coming towards their valleys as a cloud, so this is the counterpart of the flood, I suppose. This is a storm that's brewing up, right? They said, this is a cloud which will give us rain. And then the reply is, nay, but it is that which you sought to hasten, a wind wherein is a grievous punishment. It will destroy everything by the command of its Lord. And they became such that there was nothing left to be seen except their dwellings. Thus do we requite the guilty people. And we had established them, and what we have established you not, and we gave them ears and eyes and hearts, but their ears and their eyes and their hearts availed them naught, since they denied the signs of Allah and that at which they used to mock and compass them. So this is a little more detail. Now, these people then were destroyed not by a flood, but by some sort of giant windstorm, I suppose. I think part of this is in the Near East and in Arabia too. I mean, there are these ruined cities, right? And the question would come up, well, what happened? Well, the interpretation Muhammad puts on it is, they disobeyed the prophet. That's what happened, and you know that's what's going to happen to you if you don't listen. There are going to be two more. 50, 13 through 15, I believe it is. No, yeah, two more. 50. Oh, no, not 50. Oh, I guess that's one of the multiple ones. 54, 19 through 20. Oh, this is real short. Well, let me look at 50 for just a second here. 50, what did I say? 50, 13 through 15. 50. Oh, yeah, that was one of the multiple ones. So I'll just directly go to 54 here. 54, 42, and 43. Oh, no, sorry, 54, 19, and 20. The tribe of Ad rejected the truth. How terrible then was my punishment and my warning. We sent against them a furious wind on a day of unending ill luck. So there's that wind again. That's the last one, isn't it? What's this one? 51 today. Oh, no, I think I skipped this one. 51. 51, 42 through 43. And there was a sign of in the tribe of Ad when we sent against them a destructive wind that left nothing whatever that had been that whatever that hit it visited, but it made like a rotten bone. Okay. So that's all of Ad. So what do we know about Hud? Well, he's in a way similar to Noah. He's a member of that city. That's what it says, a brother of Ad, meaning by that a citizen of that city. And he received word from God to announce, you know, that there's only one God, Allah, and you better toe the line or else you'll be destroyed. They refused to believe it. They insisted on a sign from God that he was a prophet because he just looked like one of them. He didn't get one. They refused to believe, and instead of a flood, you have a windstorm that comes through and destroys everything in the city, and that's it. You know, and some other people then inhabit it. Is the story. Okay, now on to the next prophet, who is Salih, identified with. I think it's an H at the end, isn't it? Isn't there an H on the end of this one? I think. I can look at my notes and see. Yes. So, now we're going to talk about Thamud, the sort of sister city to Ad. And here we have another set of stories. And if indeed this is the same as the prophet, as the patriarch, Shelah, basically part of a verse in the Bible is replaced by a good bit of detail here in the Quran. So I'm going to start, this is it, it's 7, this is kind of the big story here, 74 to 80. So here we go. And to Thamud, so this is prophet number, 5, we're up to 5. and to Thamud, we sent their brother Sali. And he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other deity but him. Verily, there has come to you a clear evidence from your Lord. Now we see here, now we have a sign. You know, they're all the time insisting, you know, they want a sign that you look like just us. We need something a little more definitive before we're going to believe what you have to say. And so all of a sudden, here we do. So let me start that sentence again. Verily, there has come to you a clear evidence from your Lord, this she-camel of Allah, a sign for you. So leave her that she may feed in Allah's earth and do her no harm, lest a painful punishment seize you. And remember the time when he made you inheritors of his favors after Ad and assigned you. So this is after Ad, you know, say, remember what happened to Ad? They would have known about this. And assigned you an abode in the land. You built palaces in its plains, and you hewed the mountains into houses. Remember, therefore, the favors of Allah, and commit not iniquity in the earth, causing disorder. Now, that's your, Tom, that's your moral injunction, but what's iniquity supposed to mean? Maybe just at this point, belief in Allah, I don't know. The chief men of his people, who were arrogant, said to those who were reckoned weak, those among them who believed, in other words, the people who accepted what Sheila had to say, they were the dregs of society from their point of view. Do you know for certain that Salih is the one sent by his Lord? They answered, surely we believe in that with which he has been sent. Those who were arrogant said, verily do we disbelieve in that which you believe. Then they hamstrung the she-camel. Now, hamstringing, isn't that when you, cut the tendon? Somebody tell me. Am I right about that? Like if you hamstring a horse?
Yeah, and then it can't walk.
Yeah, it's hobbled, right? You can't walk anymore. So that's what they did to the camel. They hamstrung the camel, she-camel, and rebelled against the command of their Lord and said, O Salih, bring us that which thou threatenest with. You know, bring it on. Bring it on. We're not afraid of you. If thou art indeed one of the messengers. So, guess what? The earthquake seized them, and in their homes they lay prostrate upon the ground. Then Salih turned away from them and said, O my people, I did deliver the message of my Lord unto you and offered you sincere counsel, but you love not sincere counselors. All right. That's number one. That's probably the most complete account of the story. The next one is in chapter 11. Interestingly, as I said a minute ago, 62-69, the Ad story and the Thamud story are almost always juxtaposed. This is right after the Ad story and the long one here in chapter 11. But anyway, right after Ad and the people of Hud, we have, and to the tribe of Thamud, we sent their brother Salih. And he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no God but him. He raised you up from the earth and settled you therein. So ask forgiveness of him, and then turn to him wholeheartedly. Verily, my Lord is nigh and answers prayers. Then they said, O Salih, thou wast among us one in whom we placed our hopes. Dost thou forbid us to worship what our fathers worshipped? And we are surely in disquieting doubt concerning that to which thou callest us. He said, O my people, tell me, if I stand on clear proof from my Lord, and he has granted me mercy from himself, and who then will help me against Allah if I disobey him? In other words, I'm more afraid of Allah than you. So you will not but add to my destruction. And O my people, this is the she-camel of Allah as a sign for you. So let her alone, that she may feed in Allah's earth, and touch her not with harm, lest the near punishment seize you. But they hamstrung her. Then he said, enjoy yourselves in your houses for 3 days. This is a promise which is not a lie. So, when our command came, we saved Salih and those who believed with him by our special mercy, and we saved them from the ignominy of that day. Surely thy Lord is powerful, mighty. And the punishment overtook those who had done wrong, and they lay prostrate in their houses, as though they had never dwelt therein. I should have actually continued. That's part of the same sentence. Let me just reread that. And as punishment overtook those who had done wrong, and they lay prostrate in their houses as though they had never dwelt therein. In other words, there's an earthquake, right? That was the punishment this time. There was an earthquake, and they were flattened by the falling, crumbling walls and ceilings and stuff, and they were just prostrate in their houses as though they had never occupied them. Behold, Thamud behaved ungratefully to their Lord. Behold, cursed are the tribe of Thamud. This is all real negative stuff, you know? The next one is, what am I in, the blue? 14. Yeah, 10 through 16. Yeah. Have not the tidings come to you? Oh, I read this one, didn't I? I think I did. Yeah, because this is the one that ends in boiling water. So I won't reread that one. That was right in tandem with Ad and Thamud. So I'm going to go now to 26. 142 to 160. 15, 81 through 85. I'm just curious. I see I had written 15 in there too. Oh, yeah, this one I left out somehow. Here's another name, by the way, for Thamud. And that is, yes. Hijr. Let's see, what did I say this was? 1581 through 85. So, and the people of the Hijr also did treat the messengers as liars. And we gave them our signs, but they turned away from them. And they used to hew out houses in the mountain in security. But the punishment seized them in the morning, and all they had earned availed them not. So, you know, same story about, but we now know apparently they lived in sort of rock dwellings or something like that. And maybe that's how they got flattened by falling rocks. That's an earthquake. Yeah, that would make sense. So, yeah, so I guess they hewed out rocks, rather dwellings out of rocks, and they refused. Of course, they hamstrung the she-camel, and an earthquake happened, and they were all flattened in their houses. Where am I? What did I say the next one was? Here we go, 142. The tribe of Thamud rejected the messengers when their brother Salih said to them, will you not be righteous? Surely I am unto you a messenger, faithful to my trust, so fear Allah and obey me. And I ask of you no reward for it. My reward is only with the Lord of the worlds. Same old. Will you be left secure among the things that you have here, amid gardens and springs and cornfields and date palms with heavy spathes, spathes, near breaking? And you hew out houses in the mountains with great skill. So fear Allah and obey me, and obey not the bidding of those who exceed the bounds, who create disorder in the earth and reform it not. They said, thou art but one of the bewitched. Thou art only a man like ourselves, so bring a sign if thou art one of the truthful. He said, Here is a she-camel. She has her turn of drinking, and you have your turn of drinking on an appointed day. And touch her not with evil, lest there overtake you the punishment of an awful day. But they hamstrung her, and then they became regretful. So the punishment overtook them, in that verily there is a sign, but most of those would not believe. And surely thy Lord, he is the mighty, the merciful. Same story about the rock houses, the insistence for a sign. But in this case, of course, God does give a sign. Okay, next one is chapter 27, 46 to 54. And we sent to Thamud their brother Salih, who said, Worship Allah, but behold, they became two parties contending with each other. He said, O my people, why do you wish to hasten on the evil rather than the good? Hasten on the evil rather than the good. Wherefore do you not ask forgiveness of Allah that you may be shown mercy? They said, We augur evil from thee and from those that are with thee. He said, The cause of your evil fortune is with Allah. Nay, but you were a people who were on trial. And there were in the city a party of 9 persons who made mischief in the land and would not reform. They said, Swear to each other by Allah that we will surely attack him and his family by night, and then we will say to his heir, We witness not the destruction of his family, and most surely we are truthful. In other words, they'll, I guess, kill him and his family and then deny it. And they planned a plan, and we planned a plan, but they perceived it not. Then see how evil was the end of their plan. Verily, we utterly destroyed them and their people altogether. And yonder are their houses, empty, because of their wrongdoing. And that verily is a sign for people who possess knowledge. And we saved those who believed and feared God. So here we have, apparently, a plot on the part of those who disbelieved to destroy the prophet, and it was thwarted before they could execute it by the earthquake, presumably. They don't use the word earthquake here, but I guess that's what it was. And then 51 is next. 51. Yeah. Where was I? I was in 27. 51. 44 to 46. This is once again right after Ad and Hud. And a sign there was in the tribe of Thamud when it was said to them, Enjoy yourselves for a while. But they rebelled against the command of their Lord. So the thunderbolt overtook them while they gazed. And they were not able to rise again, nor could they defend themselves. We destroyed the people of Noah before them. They were a disobedient people. Yeah. All right. And then the next one is 54. 24 to 32. The tribe of Thamud also rejected the warners. And they said, What? A man from among ourselves? A single individual? Shall we follow him? Then indeed we would be in manifest error, and it would be mad. Has the reminder been revealed to him alone of all of us? Nay, he is a boastful liar. Tomorrow will they know who is... And he replies, that's the end of their comment. And then he says, Tomorrow will they know who is the boastful liar. We will send the she-camel as a trial for them. So the she-camel turns out to be not just a sign, but a trial also. At least in this telling, the she-camel is a trial. It's a test to see if they leave the she-camel alone, I guess. So we will send this she-camel as a trial for them. So watch them, O Salih, and have patience. And then tell them that the water is shared only between them, but as for the she-camel, every drinking time may be attended by her. But they called their comrade and seized a sword and hamstrung her. How terrible then was my punishment and my warning. We sent against them a single blast, and they became like the dry stubble trampled upon. So, and then the last one.
Don.
Yeah.
Who was speaking to Sully in that case?
Well, at first it's just anonymous skeptics, right?
Right. No, but then someone was giving instructions with, like, the sheep camel is coming and such.
Well, no, he said, he's still talking here. Sully's still talking.
Oh.
You know, he says, tomorrow will they know who the boastful liar really is. We will send the she-camel as a trial for them. So
right,
watch.
We?
Well, actually, that's God then, I presume. Yeah, I guess. Now, the way this is punctuated, I'm just paying attention to the quotation marks. The verse 26 is them talking. Has the reminder been revealed to him alone of all of us? Now he is a boastful liar, end quote. Then we have beginning quote. Now I'm thinking this is probably God talking. Tomorrow will they know who's the boastful liar. We, continuing that, according to the punctuation anyway, we will send the she-camel as a trial for them. So watch them, O Sully, and have patience and tell them that the water is shared only between them. But as for the she-camel, every drinking time may be attended by her, end quote. Okay. Does that make sense? But then
right.
That's
a law talking to Sully.
Exactly. Yeah. But then they called their comrade and he sees the sword, blah, blah. Yeah. So that's the end of the talking. And then there's the punishment and, you know, the moral of the story. Yeah. And then the last one is 91. 91, 12 through 16. The tribe of Thamud denied the truth because of their rebelliousness. When the most wretched among them got up, then the messenger of Allah said, leave alone the she-camel of Allah and let her drink. But they rejected him and hamstrung her. So their Lord destroyed them completely because of their sin and made it that his destruction overtake all of them alike. And he cared not for the consequences thereof. So that's what happens. Okay. Any comments, questions, or anything like that?
So all the she camel story is with Salih.
Yes, exactly.
And it's like, was it three times or four times that it's retold?
Gee whiz! I mean, I read. Wait a minute now. It's all the yellow here. So I 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Just in case you didn't get it the first, third, or fifth, or whatever time, yeah.
With the same result every time.
Yeah. The only discrepancy that I noticed in rereading it is early on, or, well, actually later on, because the early stuff is the later stuff, but anyway, is it an earthquake? That seems to be the standard version of the story, but then something else said something about a wind, and that made it sound like the odd story. But it would make more sense if it was an earthquake, if they were hewing out houses out of the rocks, right? And, you know, then they were flattened in their houses by presumably falling rocks, I guess. Yeah. Anything
else? Did one of the verses say that some were saved who believed in Allah?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, often that's the case. Often, and that's true here too. I mean, it's not always mentioned, but typically what happens is only a few believe the messenger, and then the people who are doubting say, oh, those people, they're the dregs of society, you know, why should we be impressed by that? That's the typical reaction that you get. But yeah, usually there are a few that do pass muster.
Don, you were talking about the kind of the theme here being polytheism versus monotheism.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe the message is not that, like, there are no other supernatural beings, but just that the one true God, the supreme being, is Allah. Is that right?
I think that often happens. I mean, you know, Remember, Allah was part of the polytheistic pantheon. As a matter of fact, it was like Zeus. So, you know, it would be the equivalent maybe of a Greek coming along and saying, which in fact happened, Zeus is the only god.
Right.
And these other gods are, well, maybe manifestations of Zeus, or possibly they've been demoted to sort of an angelic or daimonic level, something like that. Yeah.
So it's not, you know, don't believe these other gods exist, but sort of right. don't hitch your wagon
well,
to them.
Well, but also don't believe that they're gods.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, they don't really have power. That's important. You know, like in a typically polytheistic religion, I mean, you pray to the god that is relevant to what if I'm going to say I'm a merchant and I'm going to send off a ship to carry wine from point A to point B, maybe I pray to Poseidon mm-hmm. for, you know, calm waters and stuff like that. I pray to Zeus for the weather and whatever. So that's out, right? Because they don't really have power. All the power is vested in a single deity. So that's an important pragmatic consequence. You know, it's not just a matter of theory. You know, you got to pray to the right deity. In this case, the only deity, the only one who really has power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Actually, I haven't put any little tabs in for the next prophet, so I'll have to kind of wing it for about 3 minutes. And the next prophet, though, is good old Abraham. And let me make sure I get this right here. So it's... Ibrahim. Yes. And that's Abraham. And there are lots of stories about Abraham. Lots of stories. He's a big deal. There's a whole bunch about Moses and all that sort of thing. I'll skip over the mentions. I'll start with I have divided up the stories about Abraham into five stories. One concerns him and his wife. One concerns him and Lot. One concerns him and Ishmael. One concerns him and Nimrod. And one concerns him and the birds. that's just what I said earlier, that you have these variants on very familiar stories. And about the one with the birds, that's news to me. I tell you, I'll start with that one. In fact, actually, what I'll do, 259 and 261, so they're right in juxtaposed to one another. So let me do that. As a matter of fact, that's what I'll do. So 259, Surah 2, 259, 261. So Surah 2, 259. This is traditionally Nimrod. The name is not mentioned, but hast thou not heard of him who disputed with Abraham about his Lord because Allah had given him kingdom? When Abraham said, my Lord is he who gives life and causes death, he said, I also give life and cause death. Abraham said, well, Allah brings the sun from the east and bring it thou from the west. Thereupon the infidel was dumbfounded, and Allah guides not the unjust people. So that's a little dispute with some sort of infidel being, right? Nimrod was a giant in the Bible, right? One of the giants, and that's traditionally at least identified with the person he's debating with here. And then, in two verses later, this is weird, and remember when Abraham said, my Lord, show me how thou givest life to the dead. He said, hast thou not believed? he said, that's Abraham, yes, but I ask this, that my heart may be at rest. He, God, answered, take four birds and make them attached to thyself, and then put each of them on a hill, and then call them. They will come to thee in haste, and know that Allah is mighty and wise. All right. I don't quite get it, but I mean that there's a, so show me how you give life to the dead, says Abraham to God.
Don?
Yeah?
I thought Nimrod was associated with the Tower of Babel in Genesis.
Wasn't he one of the giants?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. I thought he was associated with the Tower of Babel.
Well, it could be. Maybe I'm not remembering it right. I mean, I'm just going from memory here. Okay. Or maybe it's both.
Remember where the Nimrod, the mighty hunter?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, we did.
Benjamin Britten thing, which exactly. Thank goodness the plague intervened and we didn't have to sing.
Right, yes, right.
It was really
Nimrod is one of the giants in the Inferno, of Dante's Inferno.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, he's the one who picks up Dante and Virgil and drops them down onto the icy bottom of hell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's both. I'd have to go look it up again. But at any rate, of course, Nimrod is not mentioned here. It's just, you know, how it's just the same thing as identifying Hud and Eber and Salih with Shelah. You know, these are the equivalences that have been suggested for these various figures. But at any rate, in the Bible, Nimrod's not exactly an angel or anything like that. So he's debating with this being about God and actually confutes him by talking about the sun and all that sort of thing. And then there's this other story two verses later, this very strange story about these birds. He says, how do you give life to the dead? And then he says, well, here God says, okay, take four birds and make them attached to yourself, then put each of them on a hill, then call them. I guess it's like, you know, God... the birds maybe are like the souls or even the bodies, and he calls them just as God calls the dead, I suppose.
Isn't it saying if you're attached to Allah, you will have eternal life?
That could very well be. Yeah, God's calling you and because you are, as you say, attached to God. Well, okay, that's our little introduction to Abraham. So those are the last two of the five stories. But obviously there's a lot more having to do with his wife, with Lot, and with his son Ishmael. So we'll visit that next week. So we're out of time. So see ya for a week. Yeah, uh-huh.
Thanks,
Don.
Sure thing.